Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America party. Assalamu alaikum, shalom. How you doing? This is Holy Saturday. We just went through a Good Friday. And I noticed last night on the media that there was no tribute to Moses. I didn't see a Charlton Heston. And I think it's not that it's anti-Semitic, it's that they hate Charlton Heston. The media hates one who so successfully crafted his talents and made some great movies, and Moses being one of them. The only scene Moses scene I saw was on Glenn Beck. My favorite Moses scene is when Charlton Heston stands on the top of Mount Sinai and he looks at the approaching Egyptian army and he raises his Kentucky long rifle and says, "From these cold, dead hands." You see, now that's my version of the Bible. But I would like to see Moses, because that is a great Bible story, fantastic Bible story. And another one of my favorite Bible stories from the Old Testament is the story of Esther, where she kills Amandine Jad and stops the nukes from being developed. But that story is yet to be written. So I'll take you away from a Good Friday. And it's amazing that all the people that hate God have to endure Christmas, Passover, and Easter week. It must kill them. It must absolutely kill them that religious people still have that pact with the Almighty. But I'm going to take you back, and not to the days of the Bible right now. I'm going to take you back to 1956. I found a rock and roll tune that just struck a chord within me that told me that this was around 56 was the birthday of rock and roll. And the one tune that I'm going to play for you is the epitome of doo-wop music. And in its pure form, before the drug addicts bought guitars, when it used to be guys on the street corner that practiced harmony instead of gang warfare, and they put together groups, and their fans were their neighbors. And it was a good, clean, pure time. I call 1956, there's AD and BC in recorded history, and then the communists wanted to get rid of before Christ and in the year of our Lord, and so they brought in BCE, before the communist era. Yeah, but there's only two. It's BC and AD. And if you don't believe me, just check your Gregorian calendar that was put together by Pope Gregory. Every time you look at the calendar, you're praying to the Catholic Church. And it counts. You can get time off in purgatory. It's a good move. But 1956, in the year of our Lord, 1956, rock and roll was just ascending. So let me take you back to 1956. It was my country. It was clean. One out of three rock and roll songs had God in them. No president ever bowed to a foreign ruler. It wasn't pride. It was patriotism. No sneaker of the house licked the ankles of a mad Syrian IED distributor after wasting taxpayer jet fuel and demanding a bigger plane. and that IED distributed killed 4,400 Americans at least. And here she, Nancy Pelosi, or as I call her, Uday Pelosi, was over there licking the soles of his feet. Yes, 1956, it was pure as any mortal land, the U.S. was pure as any mortal land could ever be. A dollar bought a lot of things. A guy who made $100 a week was rich. All the cars were made in the U.S.A., and as Savage says, when the chrome was heavy and women were women. And all the cars were made in the USA and were easily identifiable. You could pick out a Ford, a Chevy, a Plymouth. They had distinctive markings. Gas was about 23 cents a gallon. Only cheapskates bought Volkswagens, and there weren't that many of them. Journalism was not a communist political ploy. You could still read the truth somewhere. Everything was made in the USA, and coal-fired the electric power plants. We breathed better than today. If you had a broomstick and a Spalding, you had a 23-cent baseball game, including triple headers, with no adult supervision or interference. No broomstick, you still had boxball, handball, curveball, and baseball cards. Three movies for a quarter and 45 cartoons. Popcorn was heated by a light bulb. The movie theater had a matron to watch the kids in 1956. In 1956, 4 out of 5 male Americans served their country for a minimum of 2 years. And they went to a man's barbershop. And they drank in a man's bar. Yeah, now we're all unisex. So, 4 out of 5 male Americans served their country for a minimum of 2 years. The churches were packed and America was drug-free. Today, 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at Colombia, Mexico, the Golden Triangle, the poppy growers of Afghanistan, and see how much of a demand that there is for their product, paid for by American sucker kids. Guys behaved in front of ladies, and ladies did not talk like guys. There was a difference between the sexes. Kids could walk the streets alone day or night. If I told you in 1956... I left my buddy's house with a 30-30 rifle with the lever action opened as required by law, empty of bullets, and walked from my buddy's house, 186th Street and Amsterdam Avenue, to my house, 189th Street between St. Nicholas and Wadsworth, probably close to midnight, walking with an open rifle in the city of New York, and nobody bothering me, no cops pulling me over, no questions. I could do that. You try that today and see what happens. See what happens if you're carrying a gas can. Yeah. Which I also did in Harlem one day. A gallon gas can in a suit. I ran out of gas on the East River Drive. And I had to go up into Harlem and get a gallon of gas. And everybody was scratching their heads. A white guy in Harlem walking around in a suit with a gallon of gas. Unbelievable. And once I locked myself in my car, out of my car, on Willoughby Street in Brooklyn. And I'm walking up and down the street looking for a wire to make a little noose so I could pull the door lock up. And what do you think I found? All right, now this is an all-black neighborhood. They're all looking at me as a white guy in a suit, and he's walking up and down the street. And what do you think? I reach into the gutter, and what do you think I come up with? A noose already made to do the job. Somebody else had a similar problem. So I went and I finagled the wire down to the door latch, and I pulled it up, and all the black guys were looking at me, and they were saying, "Can you believe this? A guy has to come out of a white neighborhood to rob cars in our neighborhood? What's the world coming to?" Yeah. So, what I say? The country was high on... guys behaved in front of ladies, and ladies did not talk like guys. There was a difference between the sexes. Kids could walk the streets day and night. We didn't pay disguised bribes to terrorists and unfriendly nations. Charity began at home. Lawyers starved. There were two real political parties, not Repuppies and Democrats, or as I call them, bureaucrats, the bureaucrat party. The country was high on patriotism. God was worshipped in public schools, and they also had rifle classes in public schools. Everybody spoke the language, and they had shooting galleries in the basement. Everybody spoke the language of the nation. You want proof? I see the Manchurian candidate with Frank Sinatra. A North Korean agent applies for a job with Lawrence Harvey. Harvey asks, "What can you do?" The spy says, "I can cook, sew, and I can be interpreter." And Harvey laughs. "Interpreter? Everybody here speaks English. One man could raise a family of five kids with a $60 a week take-home paycheck. He was off on weekends, and there was money in his Social Security. Only Hollywood swine got divorced, and they had to go to Mexico. Abortions were done in back alleys, and today the same child murder is done in a showroom window, subsidized by unwilling taxpayers, many of whom work in hospitals that kill children, and now they are being forced to participate in the new Holocaust under the pain of being fired by government regulation. They are being told in English, not German, that child murder is settled law. A once great Catholic college named after the Blessed Mother gives awards to baby killers who promote infanticide. No cheers for old Notre Dame. How can you know freedom when you have nothing to compare it to? I'm going to give you a treat. I'm going to let you listen to the purity of Made in USA 1956. And while you're listening to it, you can weep for your country. Blog Talk Radio, Soap are the Call Letters, Spirit of America Party Book.com, and I have another website with a list of about 2,000 Americans who died in the Iraq War, some with pictures, and that's captainsblog.us. Join us in the resurrection. Tomorrow is Easter Sunday. Apart. All hatred seems to
you there? How dare you turn your back on me? Remove your helmet. You just slain 2 tigers and 16 men. What do they call you?
Well, I'm kind of hot right now. They call me a radiator. Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and .com. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. You got to get the book. 14 chapters. It'll tell you how to take your country back. And the first thing you got to do is fire everybody. I'm listening to Mike Savage tonight, and he's raking the Navy over the coals. I should say over the USS Cole. But he's not talking about the coal. He's talking about the merchant ship. The Maersk Alabama that was seized by a handful of pirates. And the truth isn't out yet on what took place, but apparently the pirates took the captain hostage, probably for a ransom and negotiations, and the crew took the ship back. There was a report that a cook got annoyed, and I guess he started decking somebody on deck. And the crew got the ship back, which you got to give them credit, because, you know, usually in a situation like that, one guy swings and everybody else waits to see the outcome. But apparently when he swung, they must have all swung together. And that's the way to do it. Because as Benjamin Franklin said to Americans in days of yore, gentlemen, if we don't hang together, surely we will all, or if we don't swing together, surely we will all swing separately. So they got the ship back, and then the U.S. Navy put out a press release that they're tired, and that they would be 8 hours late, and that they can't cover the whole ocean. Isn't that nice? Isn't that, what a nice wimpy press release. Yeah. Give that admiral another brass medal. So, there's a Mexican standoff now, and they brought in the FBI, the same ones that investigated Guantanamo, and I think they're going to arrest the crew for antagonizing the pirates. They'll probably bring charges against the crew, and they're there to take notes. Yeah, just what we need, the fib. The fib run by Mullah Muller. Mullah Muller, who hasn't arrested an al-Qaeda since he's been in semi-power. So hang in there, and we'll give you, I'm going to find the rest of Radiator. Did you hear the 911 tape of the guy, the ex-Navy SEAL, who was, I think he's a Navy SEAL, was chasing four guys in a car that shot his dog? And he called 911 and he says, I'm chasing these four guys, they shot my dog. And the 911 operator says, what are you doing chasing them? He should have said, I'm chasing them because you're not doing your job. Get your butts over here and so I don't have to do this. And he's quite a hero, all right? He's a dog champion. And he would do that for you, he would do that for me, and that's the difference between draft dodgers and
American Warriors, and I happened to see a Pennsylvania University indoctrination tape on how to cope with veterans returning from Iraq and how to fail them and give them low grades and trigger them so that they become inflamed and lose their tempers while little Miss Communist gives them the raspberries. Isn't that great? And if you get my book, you know what it says in the book? Everybody who served their country is entitled to walk into any university in the country and demand their free upfront seat for 4 years. And I put an end to that crap right away. And I told you last night, I don't know if I read it to you last night, but I think I've got it somewhere for you, where a Marine was sitting in a classroom and the professor dared God to knock him off the platform. And he gave God 15 minutes, and after 13 minutes, the Marine went up, and he knocked the professor off the platform. He knocked him out. And when the professor came to, he said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "God told me to do it." It's wonderful. I love it when Americanism triumphs. Here's one that's a defeat for the country today. It comes from the Islamic State of Michigan. Vandals in Mount Pleasant, Michigan have, for the second time, targeted a memorial to Lance Corporal Justin Ellsworth, killed in action in Fallujah in Iraq in 2004. I wonder if that was the first action in Fallujah that the liberals called off while the Marines were in the middle of the battle. They were winning too hard and heavy, and the liberals called it off and told them to pull back. And then they had to go in and do it a second time. Do you remember that? That's how many times this country gets betrayed. You don't even remember when you're betrayed. So they have pictures below of how they ripped off the American flag off the pole, poured gasoline on it, and burned the flag atop the boots, rifle, and helmet. Justin's father, John Ellsworth, has been a vocal supporter of our troops and is now the president of Military Families United, the nation's leading military family advocacy organization in Washington, D.C. If you go to Families United, you can donate to their fund. And I think they should build a statue of Justin, not just a boo-boo, but a full life-size statue of Justin. And they should mine the whole area so nobody can desecrate it. Yeah. And you know what? I'd love to catch those guys. I'd love to catch those guys. Yeah. Okay. So I want to tell you, I just canceled my New York Times newspaper. And I thought I'd share my cancellation notice with you. Please cancel my New York Times subscription. My parakeets died, and I switched to wax paper for the monkfish wrap. It must have been the article you wrote convincing America that Fidel Castro was a good guy that finished them off. How many communists have you elected to office to date? Will Mr. Trotskyberger be buried in the Kremlin wall? Mr. Trotskyberger is Pinchy Salzberger, the guy that ruined his father's business. Why do you leak troop movements? Are you giving electric grid coordinates to the Red Chinese? You know, I check my plugs now to see if there's any Chinese guys there. I am glad to hear that you are bleeding millions of dollars. It sure beats killing millions by endorsing a child murder, disguising it as choice. Where is the choice? Between the forceps and the neck knife? Can you do the limbo while pulling limbs off? Let's save a tree. Please pass on my condolences to the Catholic-hating Boston glob. You were right to close that anti-Christian rag. Let the riffraff go back to Mother Russia and receive the Order of Lemon. Take Marine Killing MSNBC with you and Newsweek. And you should move your corporate headquarters to Vermont before they join the Warsaw Pact. Settle down on Ben and Commie's ice cream line making Pinko Raspberry. Being that is Holy Week, let me wish you a happy Pesach and a joyous resurrection.
God knows how much you contributed to Barabbas and undercut Judas in the betrayal game. How much is your paper on the Sabbath? 29 pieces of silver? In the words of the great prophet George Bush, peace and low oil prices be upon him. Either you're with us or you're with the New York Slimes. And he put up a wanted poster of the New York Slimes. It says, wanted, broken, bankrupt. And to think that once they gave this paper out for free in Catholic high schools to read current events. And I signed it, your only reader and best friend left in America, Abu Tam, the American fun, the mentalist. And I have a little ad that says, build the takeover team now. Here's the sample theme. Build all your campaign ads around this question. You want your country back? And this is a note to the organization that's trying to take their country back. And if you need help, holler. And I said, Rudy Giuliani for Attorney General. Sarah Palin for Home Economics. And everybody has to take Moose Stew lessons. John Bolton for Secretary of State. Joe Pesci for Ambassador to the UN. Do I amuse you? Are you talking to me? That's De Niro. Yeah, when they were great. De Niro, when he was great, before he went run silent, run deep, communist. Yeah, subtle Robert De Niro. John Bolton, Secretary of State, Mitt Romney, Secretary of Treasury. And of course, yours truly, Abu Tam, Minister without the portfolio. I'll give you a quick tune, and when I come back, I got two tributes. Maybe I'll give you the tribute first. This tribute is to a guy named Ed Freeman. Ed Freeman. He's probably, if he was alive today, he'd be celebrating Passover, I bet. Ed Freeman, you're a 19-year-old kid. You're critically wounded and dying in the jungle of the Latrang Valley, the valley that the Democrats sent you to die in and then left you to fight on the battlefield by yourself. 11/14/1965, LZ X-ray Vietnam. Your infantry unit is outnumbered 8-1, and the enemy fire is so intense from 100 or 200 yards away that your own infantry commander has ordered the medevac helicopters to stop coming in. You're lying there listening to the enemy machine guns, and you know you're not getting out. Your family is halfway around the world, 12,000 miles away, and you'll never see them again. As the world starts to fade in and out, you know this is the day. Then over the machine gun noise, you faintly hear the sound of a helicopter, and you look up to see an unarmed Huey, but it doesn't seem real because no medevac markings are on it. Ed Freeman is coming for you. He's not medevac, so it's not his job, but he's flying his Huey down into the machine gun fire after the medevacs were ordered not to come. He's coming anyway, and he drops it in and sits there in the machine gun fire as they load two or three of you on board. Then he flies you up and out through the gunfire to the doctors and nurses, and he kept coming back 13 times, and it took about 30 of he took about 30 of you and your buddies out who would never have gotten out, and he's a Medal of Honor recipient. Now do you see the difference between John Kerry and Ed Freeman? You see the difference between getting a shrapnel in your pinky toe and a guy that puts his body and soul on the line? Ed Freeman died last Wednesday at the age of 80. He's a Medal of Honor recipient, and he hails from Boise, Idaho. May God rest his soul. I bet you didn't hear about this hero's passing, but we sure were told a whole bunch about some hip-hop coward beating the crap out of his girlfriend. Shame on the American media. God bless Ed Freeman. I gotta do a song for Ed.
I be forever. flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, I believe, I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see the sky, then I know I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch a leaf or see
The next email I sent out to the Admiral of the Navy, and I put a picture of a decoy duck on the top of the email, and it says, "How many ships will you let be hijacked before you take the job seriously? This is a decoy. It is used as a lure. Are you telling me that you can't catch terrorists in a dinghy again? Are you the bathtub sailor that told Iran you would not fight back?" This is Admiral Mullen, and he has gone on the record saying he won't start a war with Iran. Is Lincoln still waiting? I've got to tell you something. He said he wouldn't start a war with Iran. Do you remember the USS Vincennes? It was on duty in the Persian Gulf. It was a guided missile destroyer, I believe, protecting an aircraft carrier. An Iranian airliner flew off course and flew into restricted airspace, and they launched a missile and they blew the airliner out of the sky. And there was a communist video team on the Vincennes that filmed the jubilation of the crew high-fiving each other. And then they showed the bodies of little children and broken plane seats in the water, and how the crew all of a sudden went from happy to tragically sad. Who wouldn't be sad? But now I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you back to New York Harbor, and I'm going to take you back to Staten Island, where the U.S. Navy spent millions of dollars, at that time it was millions, to build a home port for a guided missile cruiser called the Normandy. And Chuck Schumer and his minions had the Normandy pulled out of the home port, and they turned the home port into a Hollywood set. They took all that wasted money and they rented out the home port, and they're still fighting over what to do with the home port today. They're fighting over the spoils of politics. Anyway, the Normandy was transferred down to Virginia to protect the fleet in Virginia. Now, so the Vincennes shot down a plane, an Iranian plane, that flew over restricted airspace and was considered a threat to an aircraft carrier. Well, you don't think that a pilot, an Iranian pilot, could have lost his mind and really hijacked that plane without telling passengers or crew and was heading towards that aircraft carrier? Nah. That people don't do that. Terrorists, they just don't fly planes into buildings or ships. They don't do that. They've never done it in the past. There is an Egyptian airline, and the co-pilot's name was Batuti, who was a family man, and was last heard screaming Allahu Akbar. And to this day, we don't know if he was crashing a plane load of Egyptian officers returning from a basic, from advanced training, military training, in the USA, and he crashed it out at sea after leaving JFK. We don't know if he crashed it because he was fighting somebody that wanted to turn it around into a building, or he was killing all those officers on board as part of his mission. But that's what he did. But there's no coincidence there, right? So now, here we got the USS Normandy is moved. And then along comes 911. Have you ever been near the George Washington Bridge on the Palisades side? Have you ever looked at the bridge and looked at downtown Manhattan from the Palisades side? Do you know, you're probably, if you're at the top of the Palisades and you're looking towards downtown Manhattan on the Hudson River, you're looking in the flight line path of the hijacked jet that went into the World Trade Center that flew over the George Washington Bridge. And not too high over the George Washington Bridge, following the Hudson River down to deal death to 3,000 Americans. The media will tell you 2,800, but they don't count the 200 unborn children. Nobody counts unborn children. It's the law of the land that they're not to be counted until they escape the womb. It's their fair game while they're in the womb. So, and the fair game kills 1,400,000 a year. Are we civilized? I bet you the Romans never killed that many at the Colosseum. So, wouldn't it have been nice? Do you know that we couldn't do a radar sweep? We had nothing in the harbor that could have picked up those two planes heading towards us. Thank you, Chuck Schumer. Who covered up Chuck Schumer's mistake? You think about that. And isn't it too bad we didn't have the Vincennes in the home port on Staten Island? We didn't have a 350-mile sweep. And we're ready for whatever's coming our way? Are you kidding me? What? Under the auspices of a party that hates the military? Won't even count absentee ballots upstate New York? Yeah. So I sent this to Admiral Mullen, because he's gone on record saying that he won't start a war with Iran, no matter what they do. How many ships will you let be hijacked before you take the job seriously? This is a decoy. I sent him a duck. It is used as a lure. Are you telling me that you can't catch terrorists in a dinghy again? Are you the bathtub sailor that told Iran you would not fight back? I call him Admiral McClellan. Is Lincoln still waiting on you to lead? Here's the plan. You take as many SEALs as you need and you put them on a freighter that has hidden armaments. Then play sitting duck. If you need a firepower list, ask any 10-year-old with a video game. Were you in charge when the Clintons sent the coal to sink Yemen? Were you in charge when two Marine carrying ships tied up side by side in Aqaba, Jordan, without first checking the dockside warehouses where Al-Qaeda set up mortars? For at least 30 ship hijackings off of the home of Black Hawk Down
and the less aspirin Clinton retreat. We have watched the local terror gang pick off peacenik ships for insurance money. Now one freighter flies the flag of Stephen Decatur and without weapons takes back freedom, and the best we can do is whine, putting out a press release that we are steaming into harm's way. Well, I'm steaming too. How about getting the job done right? A mafia capo in a rowboat can make better time and solve the problem for good. Your closest ship is 8 hours away. Bin Laden is paying for the ship to be retaken before you get there. Isn't it time American crews carried weapons? Hint, there's a war on. Do it before Congress passes a law that American merchant mariners can only use one hand, and that's the hand that's tied. And while you're at it, tell the top brass to wear ribbons only and stop dressing like heroes of the Soviet Union. If you fall overboard, you could sink. Get with the program and stay away from Barack Obama. He wants to take your sword away. One guy bowing to terror is enough. Please, no more submarine show-offs and collisions in the Persian Gulf. You should see my admiral suit. I just have an anchor on it. I have loved the Navy since I was 5, and I like to see them win all the time. And while we're winning, let's get back the other 14 ships the Somalis are holding. And that big that Saudi oil tanker, does that become treasure? If we take it on the high seas, does that become treasure? Your constructive critic, Captain Boycott, Spirit of America Party. So, and that's it. Let me take a break. I'm back. And this is Good Friday. And I'm giving you an update on that the rescue of the Merchant Marine ship's captain that's being held by, they're saying, 4 hostage takers in a little rowboat, in a little dinghy. And apparently, in the middle of the night, he dove overboard to escape his captors, and the Navy ship that was watching them wasn't paying attention. These guys must be former Titanic crew members. And the pirates brought him back on board. Did you hear Hillary Clinton laughing? Is that woman nuts or what? You know, that's what happens. Too much marijuana. It has a paraquat buildup. All that marijuana was sprayed by the DEA with poisonous paraquat. And after smoking weed for so long, you suffer from a paraquat buildup. She's laughing while this guy is being held hostage. She thinks it's funny. And not only that, she's misinformed. I believe she said that Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States. She's wrong. The first country to recognize the United States was Oman. And that captain that jumped off the dinghy and made a swim for it, and was recaptured. What happened to the Navy SEALs? I mean, every time I turn on the communist TV, who is it? Michael Sheehan? Is that who it is? He's swimming all the way to Lebanon. You've got Rambo, who has made so many movies that, where he single-handedly saves America, that now he's turning the job over to his mother, and she's going to do the Latin American version of Rambo, and they're going to call it Mambo. Yeah, okay. So let's go back to the rescue of the captain. Where are the Navy SEALs that could have come up out of the water and taken out those guys, overpowered them? What happened? Are we in lockdown? Is it because we haven't had the hearings on gays in the military yet?
What is it? What's going on here? What's happening to our Navy? Do you remember the USS Cole? They just had the captain on. He was saying something like, this is not our job. That's why they got the FBI there. Why don't they just send me over? I'll make a citizen's arrest. The FBI. This is what we need. The FBI. 240 miles out in international waters. And we got to send the FBI there to read them their rights. Yeah, boy, we've come a long way since World War II. And further from Stephen Decatur and the burning of Tripoli. Boy, we forgot the lessons of the past, the past, the past. Remember what George Washington said, in times of peace, prepare for war, and never vote for a Democrat. He said that. Yeah, and the Democrats are all running around apologizing for Obama, because Obama bowed to the King of Saudi Arabia. What's so bad about Obama bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia? Bill Nelson, the senator, Nancy Pelosi, the sneaker of the House, they went to Syria and they licked the ankles of Bashar al-Assad. Why wouldn't the president follow foot? Yeah, he's a soul man. He'll be licking the soles of the feet of King Abdullah. Yeah, I tried to find, they're looking to pick a dog, and the Obamas want to pick a dog, so I was trying to find a picture on the internet of a dog with a turban, and I couldn't find one, but I did find a picture of a guy with a turban laughing, standing next to his camel, and his camel is laughing, and so I used that, and I put it out on, I'm getting ready to email it to all the liberals. And it says, help pick the Obama family dog. And it's a laughing camel. And I said we can name the dog Bow Wow. You like that? Yeah, I knew you would. You rebel, you. You revolutionary. What else? What else was I looking? Oh, I was looking for... You ever see how... did you ever see a human footstool? Like they bend down so that the Razuli can climb up on the horse and the Razuli stands on the guy's back? I was trying to get one of those and write a little caption about Obama giving King Abdullah a leg up. Yeah. So, having said that... the Navy is still is waiting for God to intervene in the rescue of that captain. They had a chance. They could have cut that. As soon as he dove into the water, they could have fed that 50 caliber machine gun a couple of link belts. And they could have taken all those guys out. But what would have happened to the Navy SEALs? You know, you see them. They come up out of the water. They got their knives. And these four guys are sleeping. They were drowsy enough that this captain could dive off the ship, dive off that little boat, that little dinghy. And that's what I wanted to tell you. They were interviewing the captain of the commander of the USS Cole. I hope it ain't the one that tied up in Yemen. They couldn't even tie up in Yemen because he got blown out of the water. And that was a Clinton-staged, pre-advertised visit. And Kathy Bodine, the Clinton-appointed ambassador to Yemen, she was sent there by the Clintons to straighten out gat-Jewing terrorists who were high half the time and beat their women. And not only that, all terrorists that they arrest, they put in jail for 5 minutes. And then they let them go home for the weekends. Yeah. And we're giving them aid besides. Isn't that great? So there's Kathy Bodine, and she's straightening out of these gat-chewing women beaters. And she brings the coal in for a show of strength. So what happens? A little dinghy loaded with explosives comes out to greet the coal, which should have been taken right out of the water by armed guards on deck immediately, because no dinghy goes out to refuel or moor a ship. Okay? That's a telltale sign right off the bat. Something's not kosher. Okay? And what's sad is I spent time in New York during OPSAIL 2000 with the U.S. Navy boats that were protecting the bigger ships. There were like 21, 24-foot, 25-foot patrol boats that were protecting bigger ships, and the coal had nothing. As a matter of fact, the coal didn't even have fuel. That's why it was going to Aden, Yemen, because it ran out of gas, and there was no fueler with the fleet. So they had to break away from the task force and go unarmed, out of fuel, into the home of Osama bin Laden's mother. And the Yemenis work hand in glove with the Saudis. And definitely Osama called the shots. So, a big deal. Afterwards, they send in the people, the FBI, to fill out the forms. Yeah, send the FBI over, we'll fill out the forms. And when the FBI got there, Kathy Bodine told them to take a walk. So they had to beat a retreat back to the USA. In the meantime, up in the hills of Afghanistan, getting ready for 911, is Osama at the wedding of his son Mohammed. And he just blew up the coal, and he is reading a poem to the wedding guests. And the poem went like this. The United States is an illusion of power. It is a giant warship that will not see the dinghy that sinks it. And that's what he did. And he killed our best ally in Afghanistan, Shah Massoud, who was yelling at the top of his lungs that Obama was coming to New York. But Hillary Clinton's crowd didn't want to hear it because it interfered with Bill's peccadilloes. Yeah. Great, huh? And now they're back in power, and they have spent the first 100 days disarming the United States. They're not only going to disarm the military, they're going to disarm the United States. And you're going to have guys like that guy who was giving chase to four guys who shot his dog. They're the only guys that are going to be standing up for the country when the time comes. And this government right now is making plans to turn the troops on the people. Shoot them all. And definitely the children. Be sure to get the children. You don't think that can happen, huh? You wait and see. Glenn Beck said something about things that aren't supposed to happen do happen, and I say, and have been saying, never can happen happens all the time. As soon as somebody says never can happen, watch out. And I'll tell you something else to watch out for. Any American politician who stands on a platform and tells you we are the strongest nation on the face of the earth, get rid of that guy immediately because he has no idea what he's talking about. And he's all show. And we're in trouble. So the next time, another phrase that you don't want to hear is a coalition of the willing. There is no such thing as a coalition of the willing. Do not count on Europe. They will give up their mothers to save their own necks. They will lick the ankles of any terrorist. So hang in there, and let's see what we're going to do for today.
Dreaming, or am I? take me in your arms. And though I'm wide awake, I know my dream is coming true. And oh, I just fall in love again. Just one touch and then it happens every time. And there I go, I just fall in love again. When I do, I can't help myself, I fall in love with you.
In there, boys and girls, we've got about a minute or two left. We've got 1 minute. We'll go out with let me see if Val Jolson is here.
Hey. Here you go. Thank you.
Baby face.
You got that cutest little eye. You've got a baby face. Come on.
Baby face.
And not another one can take your place. My baby face. My poor heart is jumping. You saw I started chopping off, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your arms and pray. I didn't need a job, cause I just fell in love. Well, listen to me, ladies.
Baby face.
Uh-huh.
You got the cutest little baby.
You know, I guess they're right. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fucking grave. I didn't need a shout cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby. Your pretty baby, pretty baby. I don't mean maybe, pretty baby. Yeah,
baby.
Now, Rudy, sister. About that.
That's our show for tonight, boys and girls. Until we meet again.